Hello, 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 and welcome to the Q2 2008 Osonix.com quarterly report. There are a few things to report. Summer has gotten underway. In the background, you can hear my air conditioner, a luxury item to be sure in today's economy, something that will be a fond memory for most of us when we're living in makeshift favelas underneath the Williamsburg Bridge in New York City within the next 4 or 5 years after the Mad Max future with no oil has descended upon us. But on a lighter note, let's see. I went to something called Guy in Mind, which is a trance music festival in Pennsylvania at the end of June. And that was quite remarkable. Did a little bit of playing music there. It's not quite my cup of tea, that scene, but I went with Peter Kwan and Ben Moran, and I thought it would be a band-building experience because, in theory, we are a band. And on that note, some evidence to that effect in the quarterly reports, a jam. Basically, the way that this particular playing project has come together, Ben and I were playing together in a rehearsal space that he shares with some other folks out in Greenpoint, Brooklyn, while his last band was breaking up, and a band called The Bad Sleep Well. Not privy to the details of the breakup, except that it's anyone out there who's familiar with music, and I assume you are if you're listening to this, as anyone out there who's familiar with music is aware, bands tend not to hold together. I have no idea if the one I'm playing in right now will hold together, which is part of the reason I'm documenting it, because it may not last. But at any rate, Ben and I were playing with Liam Wood, a friend of his primarily, but we all went to college together for several months, and then Liam moved upstate. And we started playing with this guy, Pete Kwan, who's a really amazing bass player and a very formidable user of controlled substances. We've had some absolutely remarkable jams, and in theory, we've identified, you know, a good chunk of stuff that we want to work on and create a set list out of. So I thought it would make sense to go travel with them out to this festival, but you know, again, doing the actual hard work of writing and arranging music, it's an uphill battle. But I've got these great recordings of us playing together. And, you know, if we actually pull it together and get a set together, then those are things that will show up on the site. If not, then a great many more of jams like the one I'm posting with this quarterly report may show up on the site. And with that in mind, I wanted to take a gander at a an excerpt from a Cameron Crowe interview with Neil Young that I thought was kind of cool. I actually just ran across it the other day. I went out and bought myself a 400 CD DVD changer under the theory that, you know, I really don't want to expose myself to a lot of advertising, which, you know, includes cable TV. But nevertheless, I'm addicted to video. My brain waves have been altered by having been weaned on the video bottle all my life. So, you know, Peter Gabriel has a great line that whereas it used to be you are what you eat or you are what you wear, today it is you are what you watch. So I thought I'd try to exercise some control over that. And I'm referring to this big black box as my video server. At any rate, I was looking through some DVDs, and I ran across the DVD of the film Almost Famous, which is a fun Cameron Crowe film, and it turns out it actually has articles that Cameron Crowe wrote for Rolling Stone embedded on it. And one of the articles featured an interview with Neil Young where he sort of gets across the idea of, you know, to him, music was always more sort of autobiography than anything else. And, you know, I think that's interesting because I think that's, you know, to borrow from Peter Gabriel again, you know, he's got a great song on Up called, oh, is it My Head Sounds Like That? Or there's a series of lyrics where he's singing around the axis we all spin to determine what's left out and what's kept in. And with each successive generation, we sort of renegotiate, you know, what are we hanging on to? You know, the loom is sort of gone away, and, you know, cockfighting may not be with us for much longer. You know, there are certain things that do depart. Music is stays, but it's there's a renegotiation, and obviously, you know, the concept of making a living at music, which was so preeminent in the ambitions of many of my contemporaries, is you know, not quite so plausible at this stage of the game. So, you know, it's just one of the underlying subcurrents of this site. So why bother to keep doing it? And, you know, I think that there is something for the notion of music as autobiography and a sort of a socially acceptable form of autobiography, where instead of having to listen to this shit, me ramble, some jackass ramble for a while about his life, you can listen to music. But, you know, if the music winds up being interesting, or if you're just wondering why the hell the jackass is doing it, a little bit of spoken word might make sense. Anyway, Neil Young had a really big commercial break where he put out the album Harvest, which was the biggest selling album globally, I think, of 1974 or 75, and he was all poised to be the next James Taylor. And then he put out a couple of albums that were really stark flops. A guy named Danny Whitten, who had been in his band, died of a heroin overdose, and a roadie named Bruce Berry died. Anybody who's familiar with the album Tonight's the Night knows all of this, because Neil Young really put out an album explaining that and sort of communicating the emotions that he was going through, and his sense of fidelity to communicating emotions and sort of giving some sense of, you know, what it's like to experience that life, sort of was part of his credo. Of course, the guy was also making a buck, and on some level, he's a salesman. But it's a matter of what we choose to amplify or try to bring into sharper focus with our own pursuits. And I guess I've always been fascinated with this aspect of Neil Young's career. So I thought it was interesting to find this bit of interview. Neil Young answering Cameron Crowe. I'm reading this off of my TV screen. Every one of my records to me is like an ongoing autobiography. I can't write the same book every time. There are artists that can. They put out three or four albums every year, and everything fucking sounds the same. That's great. This is Neil Young talking. Sometimes, somebody's trying to communicate to a lot of people and give them the kind of music that they want to hear. That isn't my trip. My trip is to express what's on my mind. I don't expect people to listen to my music all the time. Sometimes it's too intense. If you're going to put a record on at 11 in the morning, don't put on Tonight's the Night. Put on the Doobie Brothers. Cameron Crowe's follow-up question. Time fades away, as the follow-up to Harvest could have been a huge album. Neil Young's response. If it had been commercial. Cameron Crowe. As it is, it's one of your least-selling solo albums. Did you realize what you were sacrificing at the time? Neil Young. I probably did. I imagine I could have come up with the perfect follow-up album, a real winner, but it would have been something that everybody was expecting, and when it got there, they would have thought that they understood what I was all about, and that would have been it for me. I would have painted myself in a corner. The fact is, I'm not that lone, laid-back figure with a guitar. I'm just not that way anymore. I don't want to feel like people expect me to be a certain way. Nobody expected Time Fades Away, and I'm not sorry I put it out. I didn't need the money. I didn't need the fame. You got to keep changing. I'd rather keep changing and lose a lot of people along the way. If that's the price, I'll pay it. I don't give a shit if my audience is 100 or 100 million. It doesn't make any difference to me. I'm convinced that what sells and what I do are two completely different things. If they meet, it's coincidence. I just appreciate the freedom to put out an album like Tonight's the Night if I want to. I don't know. Some people, I guess the reason I harp on this is, again, I think that there are probably a lot of people out there working day jobs just like me who want to do music just like me. And I don't know. It's these are probably points that we all sort of agree on and can rally around. So something to articulate there. And also a justification for doing things like putting up a jam with Ben and Peter that isn't really a finished thing. And it's not entirely representative. Actually, it's not very representative of what we've been doing. It's just this long, drawn-out jam that involved anywhere between one and all three members of the group being hopped up on some of Pete's magical pharmaceuticals, a real departure point if it involved anyone other than Pete, not to be repeated, but creating an interesting mood and a once-in-a-lifetime thing. Certainly not a song, but a feel and a mood that probably couldn't be replicated, and that's why I'm posting it, as a sense of what's going on. I'm also putting up a song on the subject of, I guess, substance abuse, called Dancing with the King. So I'm coupling this month, I'm putting up this quarterly report, I'm putting up some of the most recent stuff I've been doing, and one of the earliest things I ever recorded, a tune called Dancing with the King, which I recorded on a four-track while I was teaching myself guitar by being essentially homeless over the summer at my college, SUNY Purchase, so that I could stay near a friend's, well, Ben Moran's practice room in the summers and thus play electric guitar, even though I couldn't, when there was absolutely no one around since the college wasn't in session. And that's what you need to learn how to play electric guitar, a way to be loud without getting, you know, the crap beaten out of you by people listening to how awful you are. So I used to pitch a tent, and I had some jobs in Westchester, and I would sleep on the campus grounds in a tent, and then during the days or the early evenings after doing odds and ends work for ridiculously wealthy people in Westchester, I would come back to the campus, and I would go into that practice room, and I'd play guitar for a couple of hours, and towards the end of one of these summers, I had came up with a song called Dancing with the King, and there's a drum sound, which is me using a spatula and a pair of scissors to play the vinyl top of a drum stool, and it's kind of a fun drum sound. Anyway, it's really sloppy bit of music, but I think it's a really fun tune. I was really delighted to find it on an audio cassette a couple of weeks ago, and you know, I thought I'd lost it, and it was great to find it, so I've transferred it to MP3, and now you get to hear it as part of the quarterly report, along with this jam that I did recently with the guys I'm playing with currently, and with whom, in theory, perhaps, possibly, I will actually emerge into having a band. Who knows? Anyway, I've been rambling a bit. A couple of other notes. Saw Pearl Jam in Manhattan twice this past week. Just an incredible, incredible, incredible experience. I brought Pete and Ben to the show. They were not necessarily huge Pearl Jam fans, but I explained to them that they were literally the last rock band, sort of the last of the Jedi. And PG6 came and saw one of the shows with me as well. So, yeah, just a remarkable thing to sort of have that kind of a throwback, a band that doesn't have a lot of video screens and doesn't, you know, play along with sequence drum machines or anything, that just gets up there and connects with an audience. So that was fun. Not anything even remotely like the music I make, of course, but still fun. I am working on music. Kind of got derailed for a bit, but the things that derailed me would have kept me in a ditch if I didn't have music to grab onto and hold onto like a lifeline. So that's what music is for, and that's why I continue to do it and recommend it to everyone out there. Yeah, it's the 4th of July. I've been working on some stuff of my own, and I'm inching along, and I may actually have something akin to an album soon, or I may suddenly decide to cut all the things I'm working on up into smaller bits and create something more ambitious. So it's hard to predict, but that's just the way it is. At any rate, here are some for this quarterly report. That jam that I mentioned is it's a pretty long jam. It's 10, 12, 15 minutes, maybe 17 minutes. And the song's about 3 minutes. So, for those of you, and I know there are a great many, who are just desperately dependent on my every little move to be able to get through the day. There's some music here. It's great talking to you, and I look forward to speaking to you again in another few months for the next quarterly report. Take care. Enjoy what's left of the summer. Please do. Please use those vacation days. Enjoy your life. Make time for yourselves and enjoy everything. All the best. Thanks. Bye-bye.